All right, good morning, everybody. So I'm going to continue on with vision. And this is just another aspect of it, because it's pretty broad and it's pretty big. But I think it's essential. I just truly, that's what's been on my heart. That's just what has been flowing through me. And it's for each and every one of us. And I want each and every one of us to have the opportunity to grasp it, take it, and run with it. Because that's what God wants for us. He wants you to know what his plan and purpose is for you. He wants you to know. There's no hiding. He's not making you work for it. He wants you to know so you can walk in his goodness and you can walk in his promises, right? That's what we're here to do. That's what relationship with Christ is all about. We don't have to suffer through this world. There may be sufferings, but with Christ, we can be brought through it. With Christ, we can still have peace. We can still have life as we walk this out. But it's only through him that we get there. It's only through understanding of him that we truly get there. And that's my goal here. So we're going to be in Hebrews. We're going to start in Hebrews. And guess what? We'll be jumping around because I like scripture. So Hebrews chapter 11. So Hebrews chapter 11, it's the faith chapter. If you don't know it's the faith chapter, it's the faith chapter. Really good chapter. Check it out if you haven't ever read it. Read Hebrews. I actually met somebody that had never read Hebrews. I was surprised. But yeah, read Hebrews. It's really good. I really like Hebrews. But anyways, Hebrews 11. So just give a little backdrop here. Verse 8 starts talking about Abraham. You know, it's going through all these people, their great faith, you know, promises that God had given them, situations he walked them through. And so in verse 8, it starts with Abraham, and it's talking about how he obeyed the call. The Lord had called him out from what he knew, out from the people he knew, to a land that he promised him. Right? He called them out. Abraham was faithful. Because Abraham was faithful, his heirs also received that same promise in Isaac and Jacob. Just carried on through them. Eventually, the promise was given that their seed was going to number the sands on the seashore, the stars in the sky. An amazing promise. But they walked it out, right? They listened, they obeyed. And down in verse 13 is where we're going to start. So it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. So they were given the promise, but they never actually saw the promise fulfilled. That was for another generation. But they carried that promise. They walked their portion of that promise out. It's important to note. RVFM, I may not get to see the full impact and the full scope of RVFM. I may not. But the Lord has called me to be a part of it and to play my part in it. And maybe it's to set the foundation for that next generation. I don't know. Maybe I get to see it. I don't know. I just don't know. But he's given me a vision for now. And I see some ahead. But there's no guarantee that I get to see it through. Just like Abraham, he didn't get to see it through, but God was with him the entire time. When Abraham was walking with the Lord, he was blessed. He was blessed, even when he messed up. And he messed up quite often. But even when he messed up, he was faithful and he was blessed. And that's the point. I may not get to see it, but when I'm walking out what the Lord has for me, I will be blessed. My family will be blessed. So, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, in these couple verses, I see vision. The Lord cast a vision in their heart. Your seed will number the stars in the sky. The Lord brought him outside and said, look up. Have you ever been in complete darkness, no other lights around you, and you look up? It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible to see the stars the way they're supposed to be seen, not with other ambient light around you, but just darkness. And you look up, and it's absolutely incredible. Can you imagine being given that promise? But the promises that have been given to you are no less, aren't inferior to what were given to Abraham, right? Our new covenant is better, is greater than what anybody in the Old Testament had. Something amazing to think about. But I see vision, I see relationship, because they were assured of what God had promised. So they spent time with God. They knew he was faithful. And that caused assurance in their heart. They were assured. They trusted the word that was given. Even though they messed it up, Abraham messed it up. A word was given that he was going to have a son. But then he tried to do it in his own power. And then we have problems. But God was still faithful. God was still faithful. So verse 15 is the one I really, is what I want to focus on. That, all that said to say this. And truly, if they had called to mind, and I like the King James uses mindful, if they had called to mind that country which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. So that's going to be my emphasis here. This concept of where was his focus? Where was his attention? And you can even say there was temptation there to look back, to go back to what was, instead of what God had for him. Right? So, where is our focus and our attention? What's tempting us to go back? And I deal with this. Instead of going forward with Christ. Thankfully, I'm seeing victory in this area. Because, man, that was the number one attack, is look at your past. Look at your past. And I really had nothing to show for my past, so it wasn't fun to look at, right? But it says in verse 15, mindful. I'm going to go with the King James Version, mindful. And I looked up mindful. Mindful in the Strong says to exercise memory, to recollect. I think we can all understand that. But I thought these next two were interesting. An implication to punish, also to rehearse. That kind of went off in my spirit. How many times do we punish ourselves with our past? How many times do we rehearse the things of our past and totally miss out on what God's trying to speak to us? I think, and this is where it's essential to know who you are. Until I knew who I was in Christ, that was my life. Constantly punishing myself for what I had done, who I had been, it never ended. That was my focus. That was what I was mindful of, is how much I had failed, how much I had disappointed people. Even if I hadn't disappointed people, I disappointed people. In my mind, I went there. And it went from my mind to my heart. And then everything else came along with it. But, and this doesn't always have to be things, right? So Abraham, I don't know exactly what he would have been mindful of, but it could have been family. You know, I believe they had big tracts of land. I think they had cattle. I think they had all these things. He already had it. He didn't need to go somewhere else and start over. It was already there for him. But the Lord told him to leave. And good for him, he obeyed. He followed. Even though he wasn't perfect, he still went. And that needs to be, that needs to sink in for me. I believe that needs to sink in for us, for people you know, that the focus is not on the past. Yes, we can learn from the past. I'm not saying we just totally forget about everything, and because there was been good things in my past. There's things I encourage myself with the past. But what's ahead is what I can change and what I can affect. What's ahead of me? It's not always the physical things. It's not always the stuff. All too often, it can be in our head. It can be the battle of the mind. How often do we think ourselves out of his goodness? I've been there. He can't love me because. He'll only love me if. And we go down this horrible, horrible road. But the truth is, he loves you. The truth is, he wants the best for you. And that best is going to come through the word and establishing relationship with him. It's never rejecting him. It's never running away from him. I don't care what you're going through, go to him. Go to him. He is good. He is goodness, and that's where you're going to find good, and that's where you're going to find goodness. That's where you're going to find your answer is in him. Not blaming him. Amen. So we think ourselves out of his promises, his provisions, his vision for us. Because we are not focused, we are not mindful of him, we're mindful of us. I'm mindful of me and what I'm going through. I'm mindful of me and I'm punishing myself and rehearsing all the things I've done. Instead of all the things he can do through me. It's a mindset. It truly is a mindset. When I was walking this out and walking my way back into relationship, I have the mind of Christ was a mantra. I would say it, I remember, I was working a job and I would sit on a forklift all day and I would go in and out of these trucks. And for hours, I would say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ because everything was trying to attack me. Everything was trying to tear me down. Everything was trying to make me look back. But no, I have the mind of Christ. And I said it until I convinced myself of it. And I still say it until I convince myself of it because I have a long way to go. But we have to have these things in our heart. If I had nothing in my heart and at the time, I had very little, but I had that. At least I had that. At least I could fight with that. If we have nothing of the word in our heart, we can't fight with anything. What makes the devil run? My snappy answers, right? My anger? Or is it the word of God? Because he can't stand at the word of God. So, the importance of the word. Luke 9:62 says, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So I need to give some context here. Jesus is Or people are coming up to Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus, but I got to do this. And then Jesus says, follow me. I'll follow you, Lord, but I got to go do this. Right? So that's the context here. He's asking people to follow, but everybody's got something else they need to do first. So that's the context here. So looking back, I'll just read it again. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit. So that fit is well-placed or useful. That's what that, according to the Strong's, that's what that word is meaning, well-placed or useful. For a very long time in my life, I had a heart for God, but I was not useful for God. I didn't have anything in here. I believe this verse is talking about effectiveness, right? And our effectiveness, might take a drink after that one. I'll get it. Our effectiveness comes through focus on Him. That's where our effectiveness comes. This verse, I believe, is the difference between just making it and a well done, my good and faithful servant. Effectiveness. How effective was I? How effective was I here? Because as I've said before, salvation is not just getting saved and that's it. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for His grace and His mercy and His love. But there's more to it. We can have more in this life if we choose more. I can be as effective as I allowed God to let me be. Or I can be as ineffective as I want to be. But it's my choice. I'm choosing effectiveness or ineffectiveness. God has something for each and every one of us. Are we choosing it? Because when I choose Him, man, He kicks in. It's not myself anymore. It's not in my nature to stand up here and do this. It truly isn't. I'm happy I'm doing it. I absolutely love doing it. I love it. But initially, the thought of this made me a little queasy. Right? Standing up in front of people I don't know, I don't want to know. I'm just letting you know. I have to be honest here. And you all know this. Maybe you don't, but.
No, I don't. That's all right.
But I didn't want to know people, so why would I stand up and try and help people? It's just the, that's it. But it also shows the how awesome God is, because I have a new perspective. I care for people now. Even people that upset me, I care for them. I do. I can honestly say, and there's still a work going on here, but God has changed my life in that area. He truly has. And I am exceedingly grateful for it, because relationships, not just with Him, but relationships here, have changed my life. Instead of rejecting relationships and rejecting help, man, it's weird what happens when you just let people help. When you let God help, I had to have a lot of people help. But God is changing my heart in that area. And because God is changing my heart in that area, I want to help. I want people to experience what I'm experiencing. That's my testimony. I want you to feel and know what God is doing in my life, because He can do the exact same thing for you. He can. You're His creation just as much as I am His creation. He has something for each and every one of us. But what are we mindful of? And maybe you've got this down. Awesome, but there's somebody you know that doesn't, and there's somebody you can help with this information. Yes. And we never stop growing. We can all continue to grow. I have a revelation of the love of God, but I know there's more. I know there's more. And so we just continue to walk this out, but I'm not going to continue to grow if I'm looking back at my past. Or even if I'm looking back at my accomplishments, and we'll get there. We're not quite there yet. So, I'll read this verse again just to refresh. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, when I first read that verse, there was a lot of condemnation that I put on myself there. Well, I'm just not fit. I've messed up. That's me. I'm not fit. But it was lack of understanding that told me I was not fit. Because the Lord is saying, let me make you fit. Let me make you useful. Let me put you in a well-placed spot where you will succeed. Let me do that. But it's all perspective, because when I don't like myself and everything I read is about me and how I need to change and I need to do this and God's mad at me, I read verses like this and I go, oh my gosh, it's over. This is it. Depression is it. That's my life. But thank God for understanding. That's weird. Man, just let him work in you. Let him speak to you. I had to get out of my own way to let the word speak to me. I had to get out of my own way to let the Holy Spirit speak to me and move in me. So what's happening here? There's an action taking place. Somebody has put their hand to the plow. That's indicating some kind of work is about to happen. Something's about to happen here. So, back then they didn't have big, beautiful machines that you can type in coordinates and almost pick these fields themselves. There was some sort of animal strapped to a big metal blade, and they pulled you through the field. And I think of Pastor John Neitzel. He always tells this story. He was the little kid at the end of the field holding up the big pole with the flag, so whoever was cutting those furrows could go straight. Because if you're zigzagging all over the field, you're not being effective. You're not utilizing that field to its fullest. You're missing spots. You're not planting every inch of that field to be productive. I can't plant a field and do this. I can't look behind. The focus has to be forward. The focus has to be forward because it says, looking back, that's another action. So I put my hand to the plow, bang, I get those oxen or whatever it was going, and I'm running along with them, and I turn around. What do you think is going to happen? Nothing positive, I can tell you that. Nothing positive. Use your imagination, play that one out if you'd like. But nothing positive is going to happen. And then I've become ineffective at the job I was supposed to do. I've no longer have my focus on my job. And man, this can just be for our jobs in general. But I no longer am focusing on the task at hand, the task I was called to do, the vision ahead of me. My focus is everywhere else. And I cannot be effective. I cannot. How do you walk a straight line? Do you stare at your foot? Or do you look ahead? When I mow the lawn, I love straight lines. I don't ever get a straight line looking in front of me, you know. I get a straight line by picking a point ahead, focusing on that point, and driving to that point. It's no different with this plow. There was a point ahead that was picked out, and you go towards that point. And that's what vision is. That's what being mindful of Christ is. It's not totally blocking out everything in the past, but it's not in the forefront of my mind anymore. I go to the past to learn, and then I apply it to what's ahead of me. I go to the past and learn from when I was depressed, stressed out, angry, and I take the lessons from that and I apply it to the people I meet in my life. But I don't live back in my stress. I don't live back in my depression, because if I do, guess where I'm going? Guess where I'm going? I'm right back there. And it's amazing how fast that can happen. Because there's days, because I'm human, and I'm working towards being glorified, and I'm working towards nothing of this world bothering me, but there's things that bother me. And I can start focusing on the wrong thing. I can start focusing on headlines. I can start focusing on what people are doing to our children. And it just gets me fired up. That's all I'm going to say about that. But it gets me fired up. But is anything going to change if I'm just totally focused on what they're doing instead of what I should be doing? Instead of what the Lord has for me to do to maybe change that situation? Nobody's going to want to listen to me if I'm just ticked and screaming. And I mean, I know I shut those people out. I do. You can yell and scream all you want. Your point's not getting across to me. That's just me. I mean, maybe some people respond to that kind of stuff, but I don't. I don't. But how can the Lord use me? All right, Lord, I want to be effective in this area. Do I constantly focus on what's being done, or do I focus on what he has me to do? Am I looking down and around and just spinning out of control in my mind? Or am I blocking that out and say, Lord, I know this exists. I know this exists. I know this terrible thing exists. How do I affect it? I don't have to wrap myself up in it to be effective. I'm effective when I let the Lord work in my life. I'm effective when I let the Holy Spirit work in my life and lead me and guide me. That's when I'm effective. So our tasks, whatever it may be, lose effectiveness when we lose focus. And this can be applied to so many things in your life. It truly can. I'm applying this to what the Lord's telling you, speaking to you, what you're feeling inside, what the Holy Spirit is bearing in your spirit. But it can be applied to almost anything. Whatever causes you to look back instead of forward is where you will live. That's it. That's it.
Say that again.
Whatever causes you to look back instead of forward is where you will live your life. It's a choice. Because the Lord can bring you out. He can. I don't care how deep in it you think you are. If you are willing, the Lord will bring you out. If you are willing, he will change your life. If you are willing, he will give you purpose, plan, vision, and the ability to walk it out, if you are willing. The difference between making it and well done, my good and faithful servant. Because there's so much more. There's so much more. There is more than you can think, hope, or ask. We can't comprehend what the Lord is able to do through us. But I don't have to be able to comprehend it for him to do it in me. That's the best thing about God. Because he's just so... He's just good. Everything about him is good. And he can make it happen. But am I focusing on how he can make it happen, or am I focusing on all my deficiencies? Sometimes my words don't come out the way I want them to come out. Ugh. I think I'm going to stop speaking because I just... Blah. These thoughts come. I had a catchphrase I used, and I'm really working hard to get out of it, not use it anymore, you know? I listen to my early sermons, and it's like, oh, gosh. It's all I can focus on is I hear my safe self going, you know, you know, you know. I'm like, how can anybody get anything from that? That's all I hear. But I can either say, Lord, I need help with that. Help me be more affluent, affluent. Is that the word? I don't know. It's bigger than what I am. But help me convey your words. Help me convey what you want me to convey, even though I don't always sound very schooled. It's been a long time since literature class. I wish I would have paid more attention now. I do. There's things in life, you get into certain positions and like, I wish I would have paid more attention to grammar. Pronouns, nouns, all that fun stuff. But it helps you understand, right? Don't blow off the little things because the little things will help you understand. I wish I had that little thing in me. I would understand more. But I can't look back. All I can do is let the Holy Spirit move in me, speak through me, and I pray to God that it's hitting the mark. Because if I go somewhere else, I'm just going to stop because I don't sound like this great speaker. I don't sound like that great speaker. Man, they can go up there without any notes. I use notes. I guess I'm just not going to do this anymore. One of my favorite teachers uses notes, so that one doesn't work on me anymore. So, if anybody wants to hear him, Barry Bennett. I love it. He stands up there. I don't care what class it is. I don't care what sermon it is. He's got notes in his hand. And I'm just like, amen, brother. I got no problem with that. No problem. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what do you treasure? And this is talking about spiritual things. What do you treasure? What are you mindful of? Are you mindful of hurts, disappointments, grief, unforgiveness? Am I mindful of depression, stress, anxiety, pain? What are you mindful of? Because that's your treasure. I treasured my depression. I put it in a really pretty box, and I protected it because it became part of me. It became who I was. This is just who I am. And without this, I don't know what I'll be. So I protected it. I protected it by not getting any help. I protected it by not talking to anybody. I protected it by not establishing any relationships. I don't know what yours is, but that was mine. Or do we treasure his word? Are we mindful of Christ and his vision, his promises, his love, his goodness, his wisdom, his understanding? Do we have one foot in, or are we all in? Right? Am I trying to toe that line between the world over here, God over here, and I'm going to make this work? I know I'm getting influences here, but I'm going to make this work. Lord, don't worry about it. I got it. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Or am I going to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to step fully away from over there, and I'm just going to step into you, and I'm going to say, use me. As scary as that is, because it's going to pull you and draw you into directions you don't want to go. It's going to put things in your heart that you don't necessarily want to do. But the only reason we don't want to do it is because we don't have understanding of it yet. Don't downplay what God is putting in your heart. Let understanding come. Let knowledge come. Let him work in you, because when you let him work in you, all of a sudden you're going to say, you know what, I can do that. I can do that. I don't have to live back here anymore. I don't have to live as the world lives. I don't have to be stressed like the world is stressed, because I have peace that surpasses understanding. I possess that. You possess that. And that's a big one for me. It just is. I have peace that surpasses understanding, and I'm going to walk in that. And I'm going to let the Lord bear that out. And I'm going to let him teach me and lead me and guide me in the peace that surpasses all understanding. Because then people can look at me and go, why aren't you all fired up? You used to get fired up about this kind of thing. Why aren't you all fired up? It's worked. It's happened. It's really funny when people think they know you, and then the Lord changes you. It's funny when you think you know yourself, and the Lord changes you. It's pretty awesome. But it hasn't come without struggle. It hasn't come without fight. Because I'm constantly being drawn back to who I was. The devil knows how he got me. And he's just going to continue to try and see if he can get me in that same area. Because he knows what kind of hold it had on me. He knows how effective it was for a while. But I have to fight. I have to know who I am. I have to speak the word to it. Speak the word, not just think the word. I think a lot of good things. But until it's spoken, it's just not as effective. There is something about the spoken word, and I can't. He spoke, and the earth began. He spoke. There's just, I don't have that one, but it works. It's one I don't understand, but it works. It just does. I don't have to have complete understanding for it to work in my life. You don't have to have complete understanding for it to work in your life, but I want to seek understanding. I don't want to stay not understanding things. I want to move into wisdom and knowledge and understanding, right? That's growth. That's relationship. Why do I want to move into those things? Why do I want to go forward? Because that's where I'm effective. That's where I'm blessed. That's where God meets me and carries me along and pushes me along when I need to be pushed sometimes. But man, it's just never going to happen if I'm looking behind. It's never going to happen. And man, does God still love me? I get it. He loves me. But there's more to this life. There's more to this life than just trying to get by. If I just make it till Jesus comes, I'll be good. You're missing out. What's going on in the world just drives me to change the world. Before, that wasn't the case. But what I see going on in the world makes me want to get involved with something. Makes me want to change something because it's wrong. God is a just God, and there are things going on in this world that are total injustice. Total injustice. And maybe I can help change that. Maybe I can turn some people away. I know I'm not going to get everybody, but I know there's some people I can get. I know there's some people that want to hear the truth of the word. I know there's some people that are starving for relationship, true relationship. I know there's people out there. How do I help them? How am I effective with these people? Is it by looking back at who I was, or is it by looking forward and letting Christ lead me? Philippians 3, 13 through 14. So this is Paul. I love Philippians. Paul's in prison. Man, does he just, you would never know it. The guy is just walking in something that I want, right? The guy just gets it. But what's amazing is, and we'll read it, but he goes through all these accomplishments in his life. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He didn't miss in anything. That's a bold statement. But he followed the law to the T. There was nothing you could point at him and say, you didn't do that. He did it. He persecuted Christians. He did everything he was supposed to do. Everything. There was nobody like him. But God happened. And all those accomplishments, he counted them as dung for what the glory of God was revealing to him. I mean, Paul went from the Pharisee of Pharisees to the Christian of Christians. But we'll read, and he says in verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." So he hasn't gotten everything he's seeking. There's still more, because there's always more with God. There's always more. But look at what he accomplished. Man, look what he's done. Look at what he did for God. Look at the message that he's brought to the world. The message of Christ and him crucified and raised again. The message of grace and mercy. The message of salvation to the Gentiles of all people. He couldn't even give it to his own people. But thank God he gave it to us. But this guy was a monster in the Christian world. He was huge. But he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching for those things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, what Paul did in the past helped prepare him, right? As a Pharisee, I believe he had to know the first five books. He knew the word like nobody knew. I mean, these guys knew the word. But imagine when you start seeing Christ in that word. If he didn't know that word, there would have been an uphill battle here. But he knew that word. It wasn't just about forgetting everything, but it was forgetting the lack of purpose that was in it. It was saying, you know what, being a Pharisee, yep, that was a part of my life, but that's not who I am anymore. And I can take from that time and I can go forward. I can learn from that time and I can go forward and be effective because I know how these people think. Right? I know how these people think. When it comes to depression, I know how people think. Because I lived there for far too long. Maybe there's a point where I can really start helping. Maybe there's a point where I can really start being effective in that community. And I'm growing just like everybody else, but Paul was still growing. That gives me hope. That gives me hope. Paul did what Paul did, and he still desired more. He desired more. I press on. He pushed. Man, that guy went through it. Whipped, beaten. I can't imagine what that guy's body looked like. Scars from head to toe. Shipwrecked. Thrown out of town, thrown into prison, but he counts it all joy. He counts it all joy because his focus is ahead. His focus is on what the Lord had put into his heart and the vision that was for him, and he kept going through that instead of thinking, you know what? I wouldn't have been beat as much if when I was a Pharisee. When I was a Pharisee, my own people listened to me. I had all these beautiful things. I had all the food I wanted. Pretty sure he could have had all the wealth he wanted. But he chose Christ. And he counts it all joy. It's powerful. It's powerful. We cannot live in the past. We cannot be mindful of what we were because that's not who you are anymore. Amen. You are changed. You are a new creation. You are a new creature. That is who you are. Walk in it. Let him reveal that to you. Father, I don't understand. Seek revelation. Seek and you will find. I don't understand. Seek it out. Because that is not you. Those mistakes you made in the past, those thoughts you had in the past, those things you've done in the past, I've caused people not to come to Christ. I hate that. But if I focus on that, where am I going to go? Tell you what, I won't be up here anymore. I have caused people, I have turned people away from God. Because of my attitude, because I thought of, because I knew so many things, and I pray I have an opportunity to fix that. But is that where I'm going to stay? I can't stay there. I can't. I have to go ahead. I have to move ahead. Because the prize is before me, not behind me. You'll never win anything by going backwards. I'll never hear, "Well done, my thou faithful servant," if I'm constantly going backwards. That's my goal. It doesn't have to be your goal, but that's my goal. I want to go to heaven, and I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There was a time where that didn't matter to me. There was a time where I just need to get in. I just need to get in. If I can just get in, then I'm fine. But that's not what it's about. God has done so much in my life to make that just look ridiculous. No, that's not how it has to be. It is not how it has to be. Regardless of your past, your accomplishments, good or bad, whether or not we see the vision fully come to pass, press on. Press on. It doesn't matter if I see it all. Press on. I'll leave you with one last verse. Colossians 3:2. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. This earth is corrupt. People are corrupt. God is not. Jesus is not. The Holy Spirit is not. We don't have to be the world to be effective in the world. We don't have to live like the world to be effective in the world. We have to live out what Christ has for us. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just thank you that you're touching hearts. You're planting seeds right now of focus, and that focus is on you. And Father, I thank you that as we go out through this, throughout this week, that you are leading, you are guiding, you are directing our focus towards you and what you have, because victory comes through you. Changing people's lives comes through you. Being effective comes through you. And I pray that there's a desire to be effective in each and every person in this room. And don't talk yourself out of it. Somebody just talked themselves out of it. I can't do that. Not the truth. Not the truth. Do not talk yourself out of what God has just spoken. Seek effectiveness, and he will honor it. And Father, I just thank you that you're bringing opportunities. Opportunities for each and every one here to use the gifts that you have given, to be effective in their communities, to be effective at their jobs, to be effective to those around them, Father, and to shine your light and your goodness as we go out through this week. And I thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.